Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, thank you for Shanna's life as we've been privileged this morning to watch her go through the baptismal waters, the next step of obedience after trusting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. God, I thank you for her precious life. Thank you for Dave and Andrea, God, as they are the host parents for her while she's here in America on this exchange student event. I pray, God, your blessings upon her life in the days to come. Thank you for our youth program and for her wonderful way of becoming involved in all of that. And God, today as we proclaim your message once again, I pray that you would help each one of us this morning, that we would be keenly aware of these three great questions on these three Sundays, not only last week, but the next two, today and next week. God, this morning as we look at this title, what am I going to choose, or how am I going to choose to live? I pray, God, that you would help each one of us, that we would just examine our own hearts and lives. And I pray, oh God, that through your words today, that we might have a clearer picture, a clearer understanding of our purpose in life and where we are and where we are going. God, just give each one of us discernment this morning, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I want to preach the second sermon on three great questions that you have to determine. One is, what Lord will I choose to love, that we looked at last Sunday morning. This morning, what life am I going to choose to live? And then next week, what legacy am I going to leave? What life am I going to live today? What legacy am I going to leave? That, as we look at it next Sunday morning, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to kill and to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. Someone penned these words many years ago: my life is filled with blunders. Oh, how I've often yearned just to have one life for practice and another when I've learned. Wouldn't that be nice? How many of you would like that? Sign me up. I want you to know our lives sometimes are filled with blunders, and we wish we could have another life to live after we've made the blunders, learned the lessons, and then to reorient ourselves to live that kind of life. You know, there are a lot of great athletes in the world, and Tom Brady is one of those great athletes. But whenever you think about some of the greatest quarterbacks that have ever lived, I looked up about 11 of these. I want to give you this morning, Tom Brady, of course, being one. Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls, with 6 of those with the New England Patriots, and the 7th one he won with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But whenever you think about these great athletes, Tom Brady and Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas and Peyton Manning and John Elway and Otto Graham and Brett Favre and Drew Brees and Dan Marino and Bart Starr and Roger Staubach, those are some of the great quarterbacks that have played for the NFL. When I think about that, I think about as Tom Brady won those Super Bowls in 2002, 2004, 2005, 2015, 2017, 2019, and in 2021. And what a great legacy he will leave someday as far as the sports world is concerned in that area. But back in 2005, after his 3rd Super Bowl win, Tom Brady had an interview on 60 Minutes with Steve Croft. It was really fascinating what he had to say. Would you look at that with me for 34 seconds?
Still think there's something greater out there for me. I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it. I'm 27. And what else is there for me?
What's the answer?
I wish I knew.
I would have to agree with Tom Brady on that first question. There's got to be more to life than what most people are experiencing. And then when he was asked the second question, what do you think? He said, I wish I knew. You know, that's the way it is sometimes with life. I believe this morning that first statement is so true. There's got to be more to life. But then I believe the second question that he said, or the second statement, I wish I knew. You see, one of the biggest philosophical and metaphysical questions that's been asked throughout history is this: is there life after death? I believe there is an even bigger question that must be answered before we answer that one. Is there life after birth? I'm not speaking here this morning about just existence. I mean real life. In the movie Braveheart, there were some great thoughts that were spoken in that movie. And William Wallace made a statement when he said this. He said, every man dies, but not every man lives. Last Sunday morning, as I began this 3-sermon series called What Say You, What Say I? And we looked at that first of the 3 questions which we must answer first and foremost, and that is, who will I choose to love? What Lord will I choose to love? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is speaking of the personal God, his name, Yahweh, the personal Lord. But everybody will serve some small L, small O, small R, small D, some Lord in life. What Lord am I going to choose to love? We looked at that last Sunday morning. Now, I believe that everybody worships some God. Everybody loves some kind of Lord, you see, and the answer to that question will really determine the answer to the next 2 questions. I know that because of something Jesus said, and I know that that is so true. Jesus made that statement, I came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. To give it abundantly. How many people are truly living life today? Last Sunday morning, I spoke about a Reveal research study that was done. They went around, they interviewed people from 1,000 different churches, people that were supposedly Christians, and they asked them the question about the first commandment, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? And what they found was really fascinating. It was really kind of astonishing. Only 11% of those that were interviewed, only 11% of those in those 1,000 churches could say, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. You see, 89% could not make that statement. Now, when you ask people, why did Jesus come to the earth? Usually they will say to die for our sins and give us eternal life. And yes, that is very true. But let me tell you, Jesus also came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. The ESV translation says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. What on earth is Jesus speaking about here? I came to give them life and life more abundantly. What is this about the abundant life? I know what he didn't mean. I know that it's not what you and I think it would be. Oftentimes we think it's just stuff. We think it's money. We think it's possessions. We think it's financial security. We think it's all the degrees that are conferred upon us and all of the accolades of praise that are given to us. And while all of these things are attractive, I'm reminded that when Jesus called those disciples to follow him, every one of them left everything behind. Even though he promised them abundant life, he never offered them financial security. He never offered them physical comfort. He never offered them a retirement plan. He never offered them health insurance. And he certainly did not offer them a health and wealth gospel. He didn't even promise them a long life because many of those died early. But what Jesus meant, this abundant life, it's a life that's worth living. It's a life that is lived in and through what Jesus Christ wants each one of us to do. You see, we're going to learn this morning from his disciples as we think about those years that they spent with him, the marks they had that characterize their life of what this abundant life is. First of all, I believe that you and I need to see to live life enjoying the presence of Jesus. To live life enjoying the presence of Jesus. Carla Flanagan sang one of my favorite songs. I love to hear her sing. In my Sunday school class this morning, he's more than a friend to me. He's more than a friend to me. Let me ask you a question. Are you enjoying the presence of Jesus in your life? Think about what those disciples had done every single day of their lives for 3 years. They had enjoyed the presence of Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They laid down at night in the presence of Jesus. They sat at his feet during the day. They listened to his teachings. They watched him demonstrate actions, and they followed in his footsteps. You and I can do the very same thing every day of the year, every day of our lives, until we leave this life and we enter into his eternal promises for us, which simply means to be in the presence of God face to face for all eternity. You see, because of Jesus, everywhere you and I go, we always go with God. Can you think of anything this morning that's any greater in life than knowing that you're always going with God? And God is always with you. Knowing that when you open up your mouth, he's going to listen to you. Listen to what the psalmist said in the 139th Psalm in the New American Standard. Lord, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You've enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that's the Hebrew word for the grave, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. You may not always be with the people that you love the most, but the one that loves you the most and loves you more than anyone else will always be with you. Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 28:20, "And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Unlike those disciples, you and I are not in the physical presence of Jesus, but think about this. When Jesus was not with those disciples, they were apart from him. But through the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus is never apart from you and me. If we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we've asked him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our heart and life, the very essence of who we are. Jesus is never apart from us. Isn't that amazing to know that? That Jesus is always with you and with me wherever you and I are in life. There is absolutely nowhere that we can go that he's not already there. One ancient Greek put it this way: touching his human nature, Jesus is no longer present with us. But touching that divine nature, he is never absent from us. You see, God is neither shut in, he's not shut out. God's not shut up from any place. There are times we all go through in life. There are times in life every one of us, if we're honest enough, would say there are times that we feel alone in life, we feel lonely. But this morning, I want to challenge you and me to live the life, to choose a life where I know that I'm enjoying the presence of Jesus. Secondly, this morning, to live life trusting, to live life trusting the provision of Jesus. Jesus called very different men to be one of those disciples 2,000 years ago. They came from various backgrounds, different walks of life, different professions, different interests, even different ambitions. Every one of those disciples had one thing in common when they met Jesus, and that common denominator was they forsook all to follow him. They left those jobs behind, and the only way that they had to make a living was to depend upon the provisions that he would give them. Yet we never read about the disciples missing a meal or going hungry. They always had a place to sleep. They didn't lack clothing. And the only thing they did have was the calling of Jesus upon their life. And let me tell you, with that, they assumed, they believed, they trusted in the fact that his provisions would always be there for them. And for those next 3 years, whether they realized it or not, let me tell you, Jesus met those needs. He not only was their guide, but he was their provider. Directly and honestly, I'm not promising this morning anybody that Jesus will always give you everything that you want, but just as the shepherd is responsible for feeding his sheep and leading his sheep, Jesus has promised that he will supply our every need. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe Jesus can supply your every need? Do you believe he does supply your every need? I read a story the other day about a young man. He never knew his father. His mother was in prison, and she was released from jail when he was just 12 years old. She took up with a troublemaker, and for a year they lived out of the back seat of a car. And then one day, she just took 13-year-old Jimmy, and she dumped him off into a parking lot there in Pensacola, Florida, at a bus station. And then she drove away. He was only 13 years old. He had no home. He had no friends to go to. He had no money. He had no food. He began to wander through the neighborhood, and he spotted an older man who was out working in his wood shop. He walked up to the man and asked if he had any work that he could do, and the man looked at him, and he assumed that the boy needed some help, so he decided he would give him a chance, and he introduced himself as Russell. Then he called out to his wife, her name was Bee, to come to the garage, and they showed Jimmy a lawnmower, and they showed him how to start it. They showed him how to use it. For several weeks, he would cut the couple's grass, and he survived on the $20 that they paid him every week. Time had passed by, and Bea asked Jimmy one day where he lived, and at first he lied to her because he was afraid that they would find out that he was homeless and that they would not care for him anymore. She convinced Jimmy that if he would just tell the truth, they could help him. Jimmy told her what had happened. He didn't know his father. His mother had been in jail, prison. She had gotten out. She had taken up with a troublemaker, and they had dumped him off at a bus station. And so the man and lady, they gave him a bedroom there in their own house. He had a table and a chair set there, every need that he met. But one thing they noticed about this boy was that the bag that he was carrying, just a sack that had his belongings in it, they noticed that he never, ever took his clothes out of that bag. And they wondered what the problem was. You see, Jimmy was afraid. Jimmy was afraid that they would dump him like his own biological mother had done. And so he kept his clothes in that sack so that they would be packed and ready to go if he was disbanded from their presence. They finally sat down with him and they told him, they said, "You have a home here for as long as you want it. It will not be your home if you choose to leave. But if you choose to stay, we will act in the way of being a mother and a father to you." Let me tell you, every day that you and I get up in the morning and realize that all that I've needed, His hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You and I ought to awaken every morning with this in mind. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's a third thing this morning you and I can learn: to live my life fulfilling the purpose of Jesus. Not only to live life enjoying the presence of Jesus, to live life trusting in the provisions of Jesus, but thirdly, to live life fulfilling the purpose of Jesus. You see, I believe in that interview with Tom Brady, I believe the reason why he had never found the more to life is because, like you and like me, he was put here for a greater purpose than to throw a football and to win a trophy and Super Bowl rings and to marry a beautiful woman and make a lot of money. You see, God had a purpose. Yes, he was very talented. He's been given great talents, and he's used those. But let me tell you, God has more. He said, "I wish I knew. I wish I knew." A lot of people out there in life wish they knew. They wish they knew. The other day when an advertisement came on the television, and it was of Ronald Reagan's son, Ron Reagan, if any of you have ever watched him, he's an avowed atheist. He doesn't believe there's a God. And he made a statement on television the other day in an ad, in a commercial that came up. He said, "I'm Ron Reagan. I'm an avowed atheist, always have been, and I'm not afraid to burn in hell." When I heard him say that, I thought, buddy, one second after you've closed your eyes, you'll regret that you made the choice that you chose to make in life. You see, to live my life fulfilling the purpose of Jesus. Let me tell you, all of those disciples died relatively young, and almost all of them died a violent death. Let me tell you, yet those disciples, in the midst of all of those things, they lived an abundant life with a greater person beyond themselves and that would outlive themselves. I read a story about a little boy whose dad had just gone off to the war. This little boy was really concerned that his father would not get back home safely. And so he wrote his dad a letter and he said, "Dear Daddy, I love you and I hope you live all of your life. I hope you live all of your life. You see, the great question confronting you and me this morning in the 21st century is, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Do I have purpose? Let me tell you, if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know that you have a purpose in this life. God created mankind with a vacuum in his heart, the Bible tells us. And that vacuum is to know Christ in a personal way. I couldn't help but think as I listened to Brady say that, there's got to be more to life than this. I mean, he's won Super Bowls. He's won tons of rings and incredible amounts of money. There's got to be more to life than this. What is it? I wish I knew. How many people this morning all over the world are not living the abundant life because they wish they knew? They wish they knew. Let me ask you a question. These three questions: what Lord will I choose to love? Secondly, what life will I choose to live? Thirdly, for next week, what legacy will I choose to leave? Let me tell you, you and I have an opportunity every day of life. Let me tell you, if you waken in the morning and you're living and you're breathing, let me tell you, God has a reason and God has a purpose for your life. And so many people are living lives that are filled with emptiness. No wonder we have, apart from medical issues, no wonder so many people are depressed in this world. There's more depression presently now than there's ever been in the history of not only the United States, but throughout the world. More depression. What is it? I think it's in what Brady said. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than life to life than this. Let me ask you the question, what does your life consist of? The Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Let me tell you, God created you. God created me for a reason, for a purpose. I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you wish you know? Or do you know what that purpose is this morning in life? God has a reason. God has a purpose. Shauna came all the way from Spain. God had a purpose. God had a reason for her being here in America. Dave Andre, I'm grateful that in your home, you opened up your home. And through that, now she has come expressing her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and following him in believer's baptism. Oh, if the world this morning could just reach out through faith and grasp the God of heaven and earth and to know that he has a purpose for you and me to live. I would ask you this. If you believe like Ron Reagan believes out there in the world that there is no God, then there's no grand purpose to his existence. Life is really ultimately meaningless. We're just alone out here in the universe, and when we die, we just go into everlasting nothingness. That's what a secular worldview sees. Oh, we just appeared here by random chance. We were just blessed that we got consciousness in the midst of it. Can you only imagine? Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. There's got to be more to life than this. Steve Broad asked him, what do you think that is? Tom Brady said, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Let me ask you a question. Are you like Tom in that interview you wish you knew? Or are you living the abundant life that Jesus wants you and me to live? Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we pause this morning, thank you for the words of life that resonate through the Bible. Thank you, God, that you breathed into each one of us the breath of life and we became a living soul. God, I realize that life is tough and all of us struggle. The Bible says that even creation is groaning for the day to be redeemed. God, I pray this morning that we would not waste the years of our lives struggling, searching, looking for our purpose and for meaning in life. But God, that you would make it clear to us through your word what that is. To love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And then to love others as we love ourselves. God, I pray that you would help us, that these three Sundays on these three important questions, that God, we might have a greater clarity of vision. For your word says, my people without a vision soon perish. And God, as I look around at all of the depression that's out there in the world among young people around, among children, among kindergartners, first graders, all the way through high school and college and young adults and median adults and senior adults. And Father, we see all the incredible depression that's out there in the world. And apart from it being neurobrain chemicals that are lacking, apart from that, Father, then all of this other depression must be caused from our lack of purpose, our lack of meaning, our lack of wondering who we are, what we are, where we're headed, where we've been, where we're going. God, I pray that you would help us, that through these three Sundays, that we would have a better understanding of who you want us to be and the life you want us to live. Father, thank you for all of these that have gathered here today, those that are listening through the internet this morning, those that are driving up and down the roads and are listening to the radio. Thank you, God, for the witness of the radio, as a lady told me in the beauty shop this week. I listen to you every Sunday morning going to my own church. God, thank you for the ministries that we have at this church through technology. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help each one of us here today, Father, that we would make a conscious choice and decision to get on the bandwagon with you and to live an abundant life, a life worth living. Father, help us, I pray. Speak to some heart today. There's someone here that needs to be saved or wants to come and join this church or come to the altar to pray for whatever needs they may be. Speak to their heart, Holy Spirit, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.